Good morning, everybody. If you've got a Bible near to hand, maybe you've still got it open, we're going to be looking at those verses, those early verses in Ruth that we had read for us from chapter 1. And we're going to be taking a closer look at those, seeing what God has to say to us through them. Let me pray for us as we come to do that then. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for this day, this morning. We thank you for your word, your precious word, and for these words in Ruth chapter 1. We thank you especially now. And we pray that you would speak to us through them, that you'd open our hearts and help us to understand what it is you're saying to us, each of us, on this day. And we pray that you would draw us back to yourself as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Guards of honour have given us welcome glimmers of light in amongst all the darkness of the news coverage over recent weeks, haven't they? These guards of honour to celebrate the comeback of survivors of this terrible coronavirus disease. And you might have seen a couple of weeks ago, 106-year-old Connie Titchen, who battled with coronavirus for 3 weeks and came back to full health from it. What an amazing comeback. And we love a comeback story, don't we? The book of Ruth that we are looking at over these next few weeks, it is a story, as this image says, of hope and of redemption. But it could equally be described as a comeback story, one of the great comeback stories, in fact. The book of Ruth is tucked away towards the beginning of the Bible. It was set about 3,000 years ago and about 3,000 miles away from where I am here in Gleadless Valley. And that might seem very far removed from us, from our situations, but we've seen already, haven't we, that As we read this story, as we listen to this story, actually, people are just the same. The things that matter to us are still the same. Family, work, love, life. And the things that we find sad in our world are still the same. The things that make this world not okay, the crumples, as we talked about last week. They're still the same. They still loom large today. And that one that looms largest of all, death. In the first five verses of chapter 1, we met a really ordinary family. And that family, when they were met with a crumple, in this case a famine, no food, they reacted by packing their bags and leaving and going elsewhere. But we saw, didn't we, that their going away wasn't simply just going away from their home, but actually they were going away from God. And we saw how it started off okay for them. They were there for about 10 years. Presumably they found the food that they were looking for. But then we get to verse 5. And we're left with just Naomi, just the mum, the wife of the family, who is no longer a wife or a mum, tragically losing her husband and both her boys. Naomi is down and out in just verse 5 of the story. And so as we pick up the story this morning, the question that we're asking is there going to be a comeback? Is there going to be a comeback for Naomi? And specifically, is there going to be a comeback to God for her? That phrase, that word, comeback or return, it's translated slightly differently, but it's used 11 times in this chapter. This is the beginning of the comeback. And we're going to join Naomi on her comeback. And as we do so, we need to ask ourselves, are we going to come back to God? We've all gone away from God, haven't we? We've all gone our way, not his. We've all gone after other things that aren't God. That's why the world is in such a mess as it is. We've all gone away. We all need to come back. And we're going to see in this part of the story, wonderfully, that there is a comeback to God. Not just for Naomi, but for anyone who will. And for those of us who count ourselves among those who have come back, among God's people, we're going to see that actually the comeback goes on. That every day we are called to come back to our God. Look with me, if you've got your Bible there, down to verse 6. We've just got one point for this morning, and it's that word that gets repeated over and over again, come back. The message to us this morning is, come back to the Lord. So in verse 6, Naomi hears that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. She and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. So news reaches Naomi that part the clouds in her dark world. The Lord has come to aid, to help his people. But Naomi's not there, is she? She's far away still. And she realizes that she's got to come back. She needs to come back. And so the comeback begins. Now, did you notice in verse 6, and actually all the way through this passage, that God is not simply called God. He's called the Lord in capital letters. Now, that's not the translator's way of shouting Lord at us. It's the way that English translators of the Bible translate the name that God told his people to use for him. It's his personal name. It's his covenant name. His promise name, the name that says, I'm your God. You are my people. And here in verse 6, we see that he is living up to that name. He is faithful to his promises. His people may go away from him, but he will never go away from them. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law, you remember Orpah and Ruth, who married Naomi's boys, they set off together in verse 7. And they go a certain distance and they get to probably somewhere near the border. And Naomi turns to them. And then we get to listen into this amazing conversation between these three women. And it's a conversation that is a real turning point, particularly for the two younger women, for Ruth and Orpah. They're going to have to make a decision here. It's a decision that is going to shape their entire future. Are they going to go back to what they know, back to their home, back to their families, back to what looks like will be a more secure future? Or are they going to come back with Naomi to a place they've never been before, to a God they've only really heard about? And the question I guess we're asking as we listen into this conversation then is who is this comeback to God for? So let's listen in then. Verse 8, Naomi says to the girls, to the women, go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Now, it's not that Naomi's wanting rid of her daughters-in-law because she doesn't really like them. These words show her deep affection for them as she prays for the Lord's blessing on them. And then in verse 10, they say, in unison it seems, no, we will go back with you to your people. So Naomi tries again in verses 11 to 13, go back. There's nothing for you if you come back with me. You need to find yourselves husbands. You need to have children. You need to have sons. And that's not going to happen for you in Bethlehem. You're Moabites. You see, in those days and at that time and that place, the only way for a woman to be sure of her security, of her future, of her provision, was to be married, was to have a husband, was to have children, have sons particularly. That was the culture then. It's one of the reasons why Naomi's situation is so desperate. And she doesn't want Ruth and Orpah to end up like her. Foreigners without any husband, children to look after them. She's saying, look, it doesn't have to be the same for you as it is for me. So verse 14, at this they wept aloud again, and then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Orpah sees sense. Orpah makes the sensible decision here. She goes with what she knows, and she goes to her home. She goes with what she knows to be true about the world that she lives in. As many crumples as there might be, she makes the logical step here. In verse 14, we read, but Ruth clung to her. Now, Naomi doesn't give up easily, and she speaks to Ruth now directly in verse 15. Look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go with her. Look, run after her. If you're quick, you'll catch her up. But Ruth clings on, and she makes a decision here that, in the world's eyes, was a foolish one. No matter how much she might love Naomi, by clinging on to her, she's clinging on to a life raft that the air is fast running out of. Naomi has said that herself. But then we listen to what Ruth says, and we hear in these amazing words that actually it's not ultimately Naomi who Ruth is clinging on to. Listen to these words that Ruth says to her mother-in-law. Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. These are extraordinary words. The kind of words that will stay with Naomi, I'm sure, for the rest of her life. Ruth here is displaying a kind of a loyalty and a commitment that is really stand out in not just the book of Ruth, but in the whole Bible. But right at the heart of the speech, in those central words, we discover that Ruth is not actually clinging to a punctured life raft, to Naomi. She's actually clinging to dry land, to the shore. Her words there, your people will be my people and your God my God, those are an echo of words spoken by the Lord himself to his people. These are his covenant promises. And Ruth here is taking hold of those promises for herself. And by doing that, she's clinging to the Lord who made them. Ruth, who has never been to Bethlehem before, we're told in verse 22, is coming back to the Lord whose covenant name is on her lips there in verse 17. See, coming back to God is for anybody who will. Ruth, the Moabitess, the foreigner from a people who were known for how much they hated God. she's coming back. We're going to just take a pause now for a song. And this is a song that tells of those promises and tells of how the Lord is faithful to them all through history. And we also get in this song some other comeback stories, famous comeback stories from the Bible. See how many you can spot. But let's have this song now, All Through History. Well, we're back into this comeback story now. And Ruth, we see clinging to Naomi, yes, but ultimately to the Lord and to his promises. So in verse 18, Naomi stops trying to stop her, and together they travel on, arriving into Bethlehem, there in verse 19. Now word soon spreads around the town that Naomi is back. She's been gone for 10 years. They've heard that she's back and there's a buzz, but there's no guard of honor here. In fact, as we listen to the words of Naomi, to those who are waiting for her, it doesn't seem to be really a very great or spectacular comeback story at all. So look with me at verse 20. She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." "I'm broken," she says. "I have lost everything. I'm completely empty." And then she goes on and she seems to, well, is she blaming the Lord? Is she blaming God for everything that's happened to her? Is she just saying it how she sees it? I think the key words for us are those right in the middle of everything that she says. In verse 21, she says, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Naomi knows that she has gone away from the Lord. She recognizes that. She's honest about that. She admits that. She also knows that it is the Lord who has brought her back. You see, this is a comeback story. Naomi is coming back to the Lord. But ultimately, we can only come back to God because he, out of his incredible grace, out of his commitment to his promises, brings his people back to himself. Empty, yes, but back to the Lord, back with the Lord. And the story still has a long way to go. So chapter 1 closes in verse 22, and it closes on a note of hope. Two notes of hope, actually, here in verse 22 for us to think about. Two signs that a comeback to God might just be the greatest comeback of all. So look with me at verse 22. So Naomi returned, came back from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, who also came back, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. There's the first note of hope. The barley harvest is beginning. This chapter began with a famine. It began with empty fields, no harvest. And in verse 6, we heard with Naomi, didn't we, that the Lord had come and he had provided food. And here, at the end of the chapter, we see with Naomi that the Lord has come through on his promises. What Naomi heard was true. And we're going to discover as we read on in Ruth that actually this harvest is about much more than just food. So that's the first note of hope. The barley harvest is beginning. But the second and much more unlikely note of hope in this verse is not what is all around Naomi in the fields, but what's standing next to her. Who is standing next to her? Ruth. the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law. We'll soon discover that Ruth will be so much more to Naomi than simply a loyal companion. And the story of Ruth and the harvest, as that story unfolds, we'll see that that story will lead to, 1,000 or so years later, another time that the Lord God came to Bethlehem. This time as a tiny baby, born in a manger that first Christmas. Jesus, the Messiah, the King that we all need. The bread of life, we're told. The one who would go to a cross, where we would be given the ultimate aid, help that we need as he takes on our suffering and our sin and defeats it and pays the price for it. So that we could be brought back to the Lord, so that we could come back to where we belong, home with God. Just as Naomi here is brought back to the Lord, so we, as we put our faith in Jesus, Ruth's greatest descendant, as we put our faith in him, we're brought back to the Lord. In the Anglican prayer book, there's a prayer after communion that says this: Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Back to God, back to a place of true security, back to a place of hope, real hope, which is exactly what we need in this world. Back to a place where there will be no more crises and no more crying, no more pain and no more death. This truly is the greatest comeback of all. And so the message for us this morning is a simple one. Come back. Come back to the Lord. Come empty, ready to be filled. Whether you share Ruth's enthusiasm and commitment, or whether you share something of Naomi's bitterness, or perhaps it's a bit of both, come back. Whether you've been away for some time from God, maybe you have been away from God for your whole life, come back. And if you came back to the Lord some time ago and you have been following Jesus on the way, are you coming back to him every day? There's an old hymn and there's a line in it that goes like this: Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's all of us, isn't it? We can all sing that from our hearts. We all need to come back to God every day. Come back to the Lord. This is the greatest comeback of all. Let me pray for us. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Father, we thank you so much that there is a comeback to you, that there is nobody in this world who is too far gone, too far down, too far away to come back to you. We thank you that that's true for us. We thank you that it's true for those we know and love. We thank you that that's true for those who are feeling this crisis or personal crises, whatever they might be, particularly at this time. And so we pray, Lord, please help each one of us to come back to you each day. And we pray that you would be drawing many back to yourself at this time and help us to play our part in that as we speak and sing your praises, as we talk about how you brought us back and how good it is to know that security and that hope. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.